Greetings to you all in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. So far, we were meditating on parable of sowers, parable on patience, two different patients, parable of the seed, but supplemental of the parable of the sower. And this week, we meditated on mustard tree. So this week, we'll be meditating on parable of our builder. Brother, could you please screen? This one about the tower builder, parable of tower builder. I just got this picture from, this is the tallest building in the downtown Dallas. Nothing but Bank of America. They call Bank of America Plaza. The cost of this tower is $146 million, and it took for the builder 2 years to construct all the 74 stories. And it costed very much before starting, right? They budgeted and they checked the time duration, all the efforts, all the inventory, everything, right? And then they built this tower in our downtown Dallas. Everybody must see this. This is about the physical tower, but this week, Lord willing, right, this Wednesday, we'll see what is this tower builder and what is tower and who is the builder, whether we are up to the mark or not, what God is expecting from us, all those things, part of today's meditation, we will be studying. This parable is from Luke 14, chapter 28 to 30. Just three verses only, but it talks a lot about the tower build parables. As I mentioned, parables, right, they are stories, but they involve with the twist and also at the end, right, it gives us the realization, and also they are the mirrors. Definitely, we see in that mirror, right, ourselves, and also they are the windows to see the God's kingdom plan and God's kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God, right, how it is going to be, all those things through those windows. Same time, they are stories, but they're not bedtime stories. They will not make us to sleep. They are wake-up calls, like bugle calls in the military, right, in the cantonment. When they get the sound from the instruments, the moment they get that sound, right, whatever the position they are in, whatever the situation they are in, the military people, the army, right, they get ready, and then for them it's a wake-up call. So similarly, these parables, what Jesus spoke, right, they're all wake-up calls. So please, these are all stories, but gives us a lot of wisdom in those parables. From the 14th chapter in Luke, 28th verse, Jesus, these are all Jesus' words. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? 29th verse, for if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you. 30th verse, saying this person began to build and was not able to finish. Just three verses only. Before that, Jesus in his own words, right, he given no. What is a disciple? What was a disciple? Large crowds, 25th verse, just before that, the context, right? This is about the cost of the discipleship. He's addressing large crowds who are traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me, does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. 27th verse, and whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Very hardest sayings, but we will see their hidden meaning, what Jesus is speaking to all these larger crowd and also to us. Have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us blessed time, Lord, to come to your feet, Father. Yes, Lord, we can learn from you only, Father. Lord, give us the ears to hear you. Lord, speak to our hearts and help us to treasure all the truths, Lord, in our hearts, and help us to live accordingly and to please you and to glorify while we are here, Father. Thank you for everything, and I ask all these things in the mighty name of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Charles Swindoll, this is a very familiar name in the Christendom, says no group in history has proven itself more effective than the first century evangelistic team, the inner core of Christ and all the 11 disciples, including Matthias, 12th person. So that is his Charles Swindoll's opinion. So they did a very effective, productive fruitful ministry, whatever God commissioned them to do. The training process Jesus employed is a very large factor while he was there 2000 years back. How he trained all the 11 artful disciples, that definitely will be meditating as part of this question. This training process revolves around the giant word disciple. Whatever we study, right, all things revolving around the word disciple. The first five books from Matthew to Book of Acts, total 269 times this word repeating, disciple, disciple, disciples, in the Gospels and also in the Acts, Book of Acts. And also, disciple, the word, it is a noun and also a verb. The verb from disciple constitutes the only command, the Great Commission, which Jesus gave to his followers, turning people into disciples. Great Commission, we all know what is Great Commission that God has given while he was ascending to heaven. All after the post-resurrection, Jesus appeared to disciples spontaneously, but this is the only time, this is the pre-appointed time where Jesus asked all the disciples to come over to Mount Olives and he gives this Great Commission. It's very, very valid and it's a mandate, it's a heavenly mandate, and also the Jesus way of saying the last words I can say. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The 20th verse it says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very edge of the age. He also said to a disciple, first of all, all these things about the discipleship, and we'll see what is the meaning of disciples. Disciples is nothing but, this is the word, Greek word, mathetes, mathematics word, right? It derived from mathetes. It's nothing but student or pupil or adhesive tape. Adhesive tape, right? We know how it sticks to, if any, we put the tape, right, it sticks to any material or any object, continuously stick until it lost its power. So that is the meaning of mathetes. And then the Latin word disciples, the word disciple, it derived from the Latin disciples word. Nothing but disciple is a Christian in training, enrolled for life. It's a lifetime learning from in the school of Christ, a lifetime learning from him. From the moment of his conversion, his means the believer, Christian conversion, the new believer is expected to maintain a student attitude throughout his remaining life on the earth. So we are supposed to be students to him in the school of Christ. The disciples' very first vocation is to learn to learn. Vocation means it's a vow, V-O-C-A-T-I-O-N. This is a Latin word, it comes from vocure. It's nothing but education itself. It's nothing but the profession. And Jesus said, learn from me, from Matthew 11:29. What is learning from him means? You have to learn from Jesus and also from him, about him. These are all the two different subjects. Learning means from him, right? A lot of things to learn from him and also about him. By definition, Christian disciple is one who fulfills that mandate of Great Commission, pursuing both possible meanings in the first and second bullet points. The New Testament installs two intermediaries between Jesus and the believer in the process of believers' learning. One is the indispensable teacher, divine Holy Spirit. The other one is the human agent. So the discipleship process, it involves with two persons here. One is, you can see physically, the other one is Holy Spirit God himself, right? In association with both Holy Spirit God and then the agent, is nothing but the discipler or whoever the matured believer, right? Must be the human agent here. They together, they work and they make the disciples. And then every Christian is intended to see himself functioning in a vocation. Ephesians 4 chapter, first verse says, therefore the prisoner of the Lord, this is the Apostle Paul, is writing to Ephesians church, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. We are in vacation, all Christians, all disciples, they are on the vocation, not in vacation. The difference between vacation and occasion, we'll see here. Vacation, everything is done on luxury and leisure basis. There's plenty of leisure time on a vacation. Vacations are essential to refresh and to recharge ourselves. They should be temporary, not the lifestyle of a Christian listener especially. And then vacation means everything must be done on a lordship basis. We are working under the lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are in his kingdom, so we have to operate whatever he says. We are under the lordship of him. Vocational workers apply themselves in learning and living. So vocation is nothing but learn to learn, learning from him and then applying in our lives. But however, what I mentioned in the first slide, it's nothing but the disciple life, nothing but the Christian life, our daily life, starting from believing of Jesus Christ to till we die or till we get raptured. Till that moment, right, that tower we're supposed to build. That's those procedures are all definitely will be meditating as part of this. Now, but the difference between vacation and vocation is we're supposed to be on vocation, not on the vacation. We're supposed to operate under whatever God says, and whatever God's will, whatever his purpose, that we must know and act accordingly. Estimation of cost to disciples. We read in Luke 14 chapter, those three verses, right? Four, building the tower, the watchtower, builder, he estimates all the cost and all. So similarly for the discipleship also, there is a cost involved. This cost, right, unlike Bank of America Plaza, they know how much it budgets. But here the cost of the discipleship, this is 100%. We have to be available to God 100%. Cost is very huge. The foundation, this is a familiar verse once again, Ephesians 2:8. We are all saved by grace through faith. That is the foundation. Nothing, not by our works. He's by his grace, right? We are all saved. And then I mentioned here the verse, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God. It's a pure gift of God, the foundation. After the foundation, you're supposed to build all the stories one upon another. That is nothing but not by works, so that no one can boast on our salvation. But purely it's a gift of God. By grace, we got that one. But if you see in the 10th verse of Ephesians 2, second chapter, 10th verse, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God already has planned. He predestined us to do some good works after the salvation, after believing him. By doing those good works, right, glory, it will be going to him. That is the expectation from God. So we're supposed to do, God already prepared in advance for us to do those good works. On that foundation, what Jesus had laid, on that foundation, we're supposed to build the tower one by one. The cost of discipleship is nothing but Luke 9:23, once again, this is a very familiar words. Whoever desires to come after me, they have to take the cross, deny himself, and follow him literally. Carrying the cross daily is a job of daily job. Self-denial is a very difficult part here. 1 John 2:16, self-denial means all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, not of the Father, but is of this world. All these worldly things. We're supposed to deny. This is on daily basis, self-denial. And also mainly we're supposed to give our time. Nobody's ready to give our time for God. So everybody is busy from 9 o'clock or 5 o'clock, right? We are busy, but giving the time after our working ourselves, right? We think a lot of times. So giving the time, that is also cost of the disciples. And then sacrifices, we have to give our party times or our lot of things we're supposed to sacrifice, and we're supposed to crucify the world, and also world also, it will be automatically crucifying us because we are separated people, not like worldly people. Need sacrifices. And also availability for God, always supposed to be on call. Since we are on vocation, we're supposed to be on call every time. As in there is a need, we're supposed to jump in and do the God's work. Giving up all our possessions. This is very, once again, hardest saying. Nobody likes this one. Giving up all our possessions means there is a small difference here between having the possessions and possessing the things. The best example you can take from Abraham and Isaac. Isaac born to Abraham and Sarah at the age of very late, 100 years age. He was very much possessed about Isaac. Certain point of time, almost he forgot about God, giving high importance, high priority to Isaac. God realized that one, and then when he asked sacrifice of Isaac, Abraham, since he is a friend of God, without thinking much, God gives him 3 days' time to go to Mount Moriah and give sacrifice of Isaac. So he goes up to the mountain, and the moment he lifts up the dagger and about to kill him, right then God stops him. So he kills Isaac in his heart. So nothing, having is nothing but just we are not supposed to give any priority. We are supposed to have all our possessions, all our cars, all our property, but focusing or possessing them, always thinking about right. That is not God intended to do. So having and possessing of the things is completely different. The best example is from Abraham and Isaac. Now, after that, we see how God pleased and how he became father of faith, Abraham. And one of the good example, I was reading one of the articles and I took from it, the cost of disciples, right? One of the early missionary society, they sent 70 missionaries to the nation Cameroon, Central America, Central Africa. Out of 70, 68 of them died in the field. Average lifespan of those 70 after arrival onto the Cameroon field was 1.5 years only. Many of them actually shipped their coffins with them to the field, knowing that it was unlikely they would return. Carrying the cross means, uncle once mentioned, Alexander Green uncle, it's a one way to the Mount Calvary. There's no return back. It's a way to the martyrdom, and we have to prepare thoughtfully 100% to God. Because why are we supposed to available 100% to God means we are not of our own. And we were dead in trespasses. He sent his son. He bought us. We are not of our own. We are of his. He's supposed to available to him always, whatever he is intended, whatever he will in our lives to do. We're supposed to do that. Irrespective of, we're supposed to forget about our wife, families, children, father and mother. It's a very, very hard. But remember, he is there. As he assured in Acts 1:8, he is there with us as Emmanuel, God. Always he will be there as a friend. That we have to remember. And as these 68 missionaries, they did, right? Give all unto death lifestyle, Jesus called for. This is the disciple, true disciple. Very difficult, but definitely when our ears are open and our eyes are open, definitely we are ready to be there. That kind of heart may Lord give us to all to follow him, follow his footsteps. Because he is there, Jesus himself, right? He was there just 33.5 years, but God intended Jesus to do something. 100% he fulfilled that mission. Give all unto death, till the death, right? He's supposed to do that. And then some of the best example, Apostle Paul, after he encountered God, Lord Jesus on the way to Damascus, how he got trained in, he did not go immediately to Jerusalem to speak to the disciples of Jesus. Immediately he went to Saudi Arabia. There he got trained under the Holy Spirit God. And we know how he got used by God. He given up all the things. He's not an ordinary person, brilliant person. He did in the school of Gamaliel, in the Tarsus town or whatever it is, city. Under Gamaliel, he studied and a very bright student, bright scholar. And also, basically, Pharisee. He knows very well about the law of Moses. Given up everything. He considered Philippians 3:8 says, for the excellence of Lord Jesus Christ, he considers everything, nothing, everything as rubbish. Carried the cross daily. That's the reason he says very boldly, imitate me as I imitate Jesus Christ. So that is a very few people, only we could see two people, Jesus Christ and Apostle Paul. Carried the cross daily, world has been crucified to me and I to the world. That is in the Galatians 6:14. And then not only it did not end the discipleship act, Apostle Paul, he trained Timothy. He trained Timothy, and whatever the way he lived a life, literally he transferred his spiritual life to Timothy and asking him to follow him. Timothy, he did not end there itself. Immediately he handed over that, what he made disciples, right? Under faithful men, able and faithful men, right? He, once again, he prepared all the disciples and handed over the discipleship to all the faithful men in Asian church or Thessalonians. And one more good example from Acts 1:1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, I shared this one in the LBC men's ministry. I would like to, because of the significance, I wanted to share one more time. Acts 1:1, it says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he who the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. This is from Luke. Luke to Theophilus. This is the personal letter. The former account, nothing but Luke, Gospel of Luke. Once again, this is addressed to Theophilus. In the third verse, it says, "It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you orderly account, most excellent Theophilus." Here he is giving full respect to Theophilus. Theophilus, this is a personal letter. If you carefully see in the New Testament, one third of all these verses in Luke and then in the book of Acts, all these one third verses, right, writes to a person called Theophilus. And then this is not just a personal letter. It's a document, personal document, Theophilus. We'll see who is this Theophilus, whether he really made disciple by Luke or not. First of all, Luke, whether he is disciple of Jesus or not, that also definitely we'll meditate now. Luke to Theophilus, he writes this one. Theophilus is nothing but, Theos means God, Philos means love. Brilliant Gentile medical doctor. Luke, when Apostle Paul, as part of his missionary trip, when he visits a city called, town called Traverse, there he meets, because of his eye problem, right, when he inquires about doctor, then he comes to know, but one part says like that, but some people say, Luke, probably he may be part of 70 disciples. But what I got right in my research, I got to know that he was there. And when he inquired Apostle Paul, he came to know about Dr. Luke. There he met. And then when he meets about the problem, right, there he given the gospel to Luke. And then Luke, right, immediately is not immediate disciple of Jesus Christ. See here in the third verse, Luke 1:3, seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all the things from the very first. From the very first to write to an orderly document. In an order, he was writing. So after understanding all the things, just believe a doctor, believing virgin birth and all, not that much easy. But being a brilliant doctor, right, inquires, he researches, he understands everything, starting from virgin birth to ascension. Because we know all the 10 important things, virgin birth, sinless life of Jesus, baptism, and then the temptation, transfiguration, and then the testimony, Garden of Gethsemane. And the death, burial, resurrection, and then ascension, all these things, right? Very well research and understood all those things. And then he writes this letter to Theophilus. The intention is whatever he understood, right? He wanted to make Theophilus to understand and then follow Jesus. So when Apostle Paul, when he discipled Luke, he did not keep that gospel with himself. He transfers everything to Theophilus. Theophilus is from Greek. Greek means a lot of philosophers like Socrates, Aristotle, Plato, all great philosophers, all knowledgeable people, right? They're from the land of Greek. Theophilus also is a noble man and he was in a very good position in the society. But after, whether really Theophilus, after listening, after reading all these letters, personal letter written by Luke, whether he discipled or not, means the address here itself we can see in the 1:3, he addresses most excellent Theophilus. Whereas in the 1:1 of Acts, it says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, coming to one-on-one, personal. So that means, nowhere he mentioned how many disciples he made after that. Definitely, he became a disciple to Jesus Christ, Theophilus. That is one of the example. And this person, I wanted to, about this person. This person is just 40 kilometers, 30 miles, 25 miles from my hometown. His name is Brother Joseph. His age, 101 years age old. Till this moment, I was yesterday watching his interview. While cycling, he gives the gospel to all in and around of Andhra Pradesh, that is south part of India. He goes on cycle, that is his transport vehicle. And if you see clearly, right, it got one mic, there itself, right, speaker. And then while praying, right, how he even the chappals, whatever he is wearing, right, he keeps and prays. So while giving the gospel, right, he got hurted and somehow his leg, right, got hurted. So the person asked him, how long do you want to give this gospel evangelism to these people of Andhra Pradesh? He says, till I die, at the age of 101. Almost he was there in the ministry for 50 years. I just impressed and then really hit attracted me. That's why I thought of sharing this one with you. At the age of 101 also, since his eyes are really open at the age of 50, he believed Jesus Christ because he escaped from a very serious, dangerous situation that made him to believe Jesus and following, also going and telling about Jesus, whatever he is doing, right? Absolutely, it's great. At that age also, doing the gospel means amazing. So some of the qualities of disciples, one who is like his teacher, because the name itself, disciple, means adhesive, supposed to attach with our teacher, nothing but Jesus Christ. One who is like his teacher, like how Jesus, right? Romans 8:29, it says, we're supposed to conform to his image, in his likeness. Most of the times we talk about the inner character of all Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, all these nine delicious things, right? We talk, that is about the internal character. What about the external things? Whatever Jesus did, and we are supposed to be like him, means Jesus, wherever he went, right, he preached about the kingdom of heaven, healed the people. He did a lot of things. That is all the external approach. We supposed to follow his footsteps. Whatever the manner he lived 2,000 years back, we have to be like our teachers, one of the good quality. And then second one, who leaves all to follow Jesus Christ? That's what this building of the tower. And then who abides in the word? This is very, very important. Parable of the sower and parable of the seed. We meditated on that one. How important it is to root well in the word of God. And then loving others as Jesus loved us. Jesus loved us without expecting any returns. Are we loving others with the same kind of sincerity that we have to check ourselves, including me? One who loves others as Jesus loved us. And then another quality is who is fruitful and glorifies God. The seed that fell on the good soil, we saw how it was fruitful, 100%, 60%, 30% and all. These are the few qualities. There are so many qualities of disciples, but these are all right. To do all these things, we have to pay certain cost. Cost is 100%. Conclusion part is supposed to follow him, follow me, and I will make you become fishes of men. It's not only that this is addressed to all 12 disciples, but that is to us also. Supposed to literally follow him, all his footsteps. And then learning from him, learning about him, learning about Jesus. This is also one more very, very important. And go and make disciples. No need to go anywhere. Attention, just Jesus, right? He trained only 11 disciples. You see, wherever he go, he preaches, he teaches about the kingdom of God. But the rest of the time, right, he trains all these 11 disciples. All these 11 disciples, they were with him 3.5 years. Literally, they got trained. And Jesus left when he got ascended, right? Those 11 disciples, we saw how they made the world up and down. Because of, I'm here means because of Thomas, he visited India. That is the reason, after all the generations, right, I became follower. That's why, not only to all 11 disciples, even to us, we have to go and make disciples in our neighborhood. No, there are so much need here itself in Frisco or McKinney, right? I could see a lot of temples are coming up. Who will go and tell about Jesus? That is our job. And then, one dumb question from Apostle Peter. Peter asked Jesus, we have left all and followed you, Jesus. For what shall we have? This is a dumb question from Jesus. We also think sometimes we are leaving all our positions. What benefit we get? We are not supposed to seek any benefit. The greatest privilege to be in his presence, not going to the heaven and all. If we are in his presence always, right, that itself is a great privilege. But Peter asking Jesus, the answer that Jesus given, the 29th verse of Matthew 29th chapter, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mother or wife or children or land, by namesake, shall receive a 100-fold eternal life. They are going to be with you ever and ever. The Lord give us the heart to keep all these treasures, whatever he spoke, keep us to be true disciples of. Pray request for this